Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Hello, you have come to that location, yes, on the internet. Your alternative location on the internet. Instead of those other sites that would just get you in trouble. But this is a place where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, offering both hope and help for those who are listening. Yes, we talk primarily to men, but on occasion, we have, as we know, because of the emails that we get, stealthy women, as we call them, that listen in. They want to know what's going on with the men in their lives who are making some different decisions, right? They want to know, why does he think like this? Why does he do the things that he does? Well, today, we have a topic that you probably all have a little familiarity with, okay? Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the challenge of sexual sin. You could hear a pin drop.
Crickets.
You could hear a pin drop. And we have nothing but carpet in here. But anyway, and at your place. Anyway, so anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. But I can't do this thing by myself. So I need someone who is willing to say, hey, I'll throw my 2 cents in. With that, and today, I've got, I was almost called you Felix. I don't believe it's like two opposites.
Definitely not Felix.
The man in brown.
I love Felix, but man, we don't look anything alike.
Yes, he's the man in brown.
In fact, I had a guy come up to me once. He said, oh, you're on the Band of Brothers Radio, right? Said, yes, I am. Are you Felix?
Are you serious?
No, I'm not Felix.
Voice is in sound. we'll have to tell Felix. I said, hey, someone's trying to impersonate you. But anyway, so it's all good, good, good. But we always like to kind of kick things off. We got the main topic that we're going to kind of venture into and stir that thing up a little bit. But we always like to kind of help out with a little bit of encouragement in case you feel like you're not going to receive it any other way. So thought we'd give it to you right away, right off the bat. Anyway, so anything come to mind on your part?
Oh, I love my wife. You know, praise God. Stephanie and I have been married for 20 years. So much of that is because she's a good forgiver, and I just want to just say over the air how much I love Steph. But I wanted to reach out to the unmarried guys this morning because, you know, we say things, you know, oh, you know, I've been married 20 years now, and I know that a lot of the unmarried guys who you know, long to have that relationship with a woman, they often, like, they'll smile and say, oh, I'm so happy for you. Meanwhile, you know, there's that little tear that they're holding back, you know, sometimes. I'm not saying this is every guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to encourage the unmarried guys today and just to let you know that, you know, God knows what he has in store for you. So, you know, let's just go down the road that he has laid, you know, to walk that narrow road with him. It may include a spouse in the future. It may not. I don't know. God knows.
Right.
But for now, we walk with him. And, you know, the Apostle Paul also says that I wish all men were as I am, you know, because he was a single guy. And he says that because he was able to be fully devoted to the kingdom of God and the ministry that God had given him. And so Paul says, I wish that all men were like I am. And, you know, in a way, the married guy, he does have divided interests. You know, I worry about, the needs of my wife and my children and you know, do they have what they need? Do they have what they want? And I become focused on the household, where Paul says, hey, you know what? The unmarried guy, you can be focused on the kingdom of God and spreading Amen. The good news yeah. of what Jesus has done. So, guys,
it may not be your first choice, but it's still, I'm telling you, that works, though. You know, when yeah. we start thinking about helping others rather than looking for our own desires to be filled, right?
Right.
And has a tendency of all of a sudden we become, someone else becomes more important than us. And you might as well practice it now because, brother, when you do marry, you're supposed to die to self all the time. It doesn't mean that you have to be wrong all the or that she has to be right all the time or she always gets her way. But dying to self, you'll understand as we get going here. The simple fact is that in the flesh, in our own bodies, in our own thoughts, it's all about us, right? And one of the major things for us is our selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, I want to fulfill my desires. I want to feel better. I want to be happy. I want. You know, and the Lord just tried to teach us to do just the opposite.
And you know, also we want to be sure, you know, as single guys, to really seek the holiness of God in our lives. Because I, you know, I'll tell you this flat out, and this is 100% true, that all of the evil desires that we have, all of our sins that we commit outside of marriage, we will bring inside of marriage. Because it's the habits that we've learned. It's what we've, say, oh, well, this brings me comfort, so I'm going to do this. And I know that once I get married that I just won't go down that road anymore.
Yes.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
So, guys, you know, seek God and seek the holiness that he has for you and bring that into your marriage.
Yes, yes. There you go. Good encouragement, man. Now, you're listening in because a lot of you guys who saw this on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever, and you're going through the podcast and you found this, hey, man, I need to listen to this right now. So you're either in a position where you've had relationships in the past, okay, but they're not fulfilling sometimes. So we end up thinking that there's something else new that we haven't experienced that can help fulfill this desire in us. You know, God created us to procreate because he wanted to have us multiply the earth, right? I mean, put more and more people on the earth. The only way of doing that is through what God has done through the covenant of marriage, okay? Making love, making babies, you know, and more and more and more of them. Okay. Now, what has happened, though, is that we have this emotions that God has blessed us with. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't know what to do with them. And if we're not told what to do with them or guided with how to deal with them.
Yeah. There's an enemy who's going to put in his two cents.
Oh, absolutely. And that enemy is not necessarily your best friend. Okay. I mean, let me put it this way. As we get older, we start to, you know, maybe dad is absent. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he doesn't know what to say to you. And maybe he never has. But somewhere along the line, you end up asking questions or it comes up with your buddies, the ones that you're growing up with. And they act as if they know the answer and they don't know any more than you do. They just pretend that they do. And you start to believe some of that stuff. But it gets your curiosity up. And then you start venturing into your own world of sexual what would be the word I'm thinking here, search for fulfillment in a sense. And before we just, and I know you're ready to talk, but I just want to say this real quick. So I want to go to in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay, where Paul talks about right out on verse 12. And it starts off with something that is considered sexual immorality. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. In the NIV, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Okay? So Paul himself has gone through this same challenges, same temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Jesus had too.
Okay? That's right. Jesus was tempted in everything as we are,
as we
yet
are.
Without sin.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Exactly. So our Lord uses his word through the experiences of other, in this case here, Paul, okay, to express to us the challenges that we sit there and go, wow, he talks about that? Yeah, he does. And he says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So we only want to sometimes hear only part of that, right? Hey,
yeah,
it's permissible.
Everything's permissible.
I can do that because it's okay. I have free will and, you know, it's a free country and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
Yeah, but those things that aren't beneficial, well, you know, and then we're like, well, why isn't it beneficial? You know, because, well, Raul, you know, it brings me the comfort that I need when I need to be comforted. I get that sexual release when I'm feeling the sexual attention. Raul, how is that not beneficial to me?
Yeah.
You know, we start to go down that road. Well, gosh. Let me see. It's not beneficial because it's not the design of God in the sexual relationship. And number two, you're seeking comfort from something other than the comforter.
Yes.
You know, we as Christian men, we have the Holy Spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Jesus says, I'm going to send somebody to you. I'm going to send a comforter to you. And he has done that. And we as Christians, when we say, I am trusting in you, Jesus, for my salvation, we are infilled, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit from that moment for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Our body itself is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the comfort that we have comes from God.
Yes.
Now, when we go and we seek a comfort from someplace other than the one who promises comfort, we're actually entering into a realm of sin and idolatry.
Yes.
Because we've placed something above God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned idolatry because a lot of us don't look at it that way, that's an idol. That's something that we look for and something that we say, oh, I just need this. You know, I need to have it. And you have such a desire for it that it becomes an idol because you can't take your focus anywhere else. It's on that. And as, you know, as youthful men, okay, and I'll speak back in the day when you're in your late teens or early 20s, man, you got hormones that are just bursting all over the place. You sit there, man, well, I got to do something with this stuff, you know, and who wouldn't want that, you know? And that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that, right? And it just goes on and on and on. And yet there's something that needs to be, that requires discipline to be able to keep things.
Ooh, the D word.
Yes. being able to say, you know what, there are certain things that need to be done to be able to keep this, in a sense, I want to say not organized, but handled in a, it's like putting wild horses in a fence corral, right? You know, they just want to get out of there. They just want to run free, right? Mm-hmm. But they really need to be here because if they run free, you're not going to be able to use them for what you want to be able to use them for, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's why breaking those horses were so tough, man. You should do that all the time back in the old days.
Yeah. but back before automobiles. You remember that, right?
Yeah, Ralph? Right. Yeah, okay. We won't talk about that. Bible study last night. I was sitting there just going, these guys would say, you graduated from high school when I was 19 years before I was even born. I'm going, oh, man, don't be talking like that. Anyway.
Hey,
so.
Raul, I'm right there with you. I'm getting the gray hair and
it's not gray. It's white.
White.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. All right, back on task.
Yes.
So we're talking about idolatry, which is kind of interesting in the way that this is going. Because, you know, an idol is something that we use to try to get something that we want. You know, Old Testament times, they actually would make, you know, idols out of wood, stone, metals, and they would worship these things because they wanted to get something from these idols. You know, like if it was an Asherah, you know, they would go to it for, you know, like somebody who was having trouble having babies, they'd go to it to pray for it for sexual fertility. So these idols are things that we set up because we have a need and we want to make it serve us, right?
Right.
So let's go back to Genesis, where God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep because there was no helper suitable for him among all the animals. So he says, I'm going to make a helper suitable for you. And he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And he took his rib, and from his rib he created Eve. Now, I love the Matthew Henry's commentary on this. this is where I get this from. He didn't create Eve from his head in order that she would rule over him, right? He didn't create Eve from a bone of his foot that that Adam would walk on her and treat her poorly. He created Eve from his rib so that she would be next to him and equal to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we take this relationship that we have with women and we treat them as idols.
Mm-hmm.
We will treat them as something less than human, less than the helper. We'll view them as objects of our gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Men, she was created from our rib, from our side, in order to be equal to us and a helpmate for us.
Yes.
Anything other than that is subject to idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant marriage that we have, you know, we're still right there in the book of Genesis, that it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's a really, really important progression in that verse, mm-hmm. because the man leaves his mother and father,
mm-hmm.
then cleaves to his wife,
mm-hmm.
then becomes one flesh.
Yes.
Do you see the progression there?
Yeah.
There's no room in Scripture outside of that right there as far as the sexual relationship
mm-hmm.
goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sex is created for the marriage relationship.
That's right.
And
that's what it was intended for from the very beginning. You know, God. You don't think God knew that these emotions, he wanted to flourish. He wanted you to continue to have children. And that to be able to take care of each other, to love each other, that's why Paul talks about that our body is not our body. It belongs to our wife, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. Now, that doesn't mean that you can say, hey, I want to... No. You need to love your wife as Christ loves the church, okay?
Yeah, that's so a big calling.
You know, you have to all of a sudden sit there and go, okay, but that body's mine. Well, you need to respect her. You need to be, in a sense, have a sense of honor toward her, you know, of actually knowing that she is a princess of the king of all creation, you know, and he gave her to you. And that is something that is so, so important for us to realize. Now, some guys sit there saying, well, yeah, you don't understand. You don't know my wife. Brother, you know, nothing new under the sun here, okay?
That's exactly
you know?
My thought, yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break because we can just keep going and going and going. We went from a little title and all of a sudden we're just going to a portion of it and we can keep going. But we do need to acknowledge those who actually support the ministry through supporting it with their ads. So pay attention to some of these ads that come up.
Thank God for those sponsors.
There you go. We'll be right back. We're listening. We are. We're all listening to Band Brothers Radio. Stay tuned.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, There are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Well, every single day your grace reminds me my best days are not behind me. Wherever my yesterday may find me, well, I don't have to stay there now. See, my hourglass is upside down and my someday soon is here and now. The clock is ticking and I'm so sick and tired of missing out. Anymore. Wish I could remember that nobody's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies in a well. I gotta do something. Here goes nothing. It's day one of the rest of my life. It's day one.
Did they say what I thought they said?
I what did you think they said?
What did you hear them say?
I was just watching you do the chicken dance.
I think when I was shaking, I probably misheard. Anyway, you know, hey, remember, I am older than dirt, so, you know, I can't hear very well anymore.
Yeah, so if Raleigh just starts talking strange, it's just because he's getting old.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I know that there's real love in that statement there somewhere. So anyway, in verse 18, Paul reminds us, he says, of something. He says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins and a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. This is back to what you were talking about, that, you know, you had mentioned at the start, at the beginning, that, you know, our bodies are not ours. They belong to the Lord. These are his temples.
Mm-hmm.
He lives within us, okay? That's why the struggle. That's why it's such a challenge when we do things, you know? The spirit in us is trying to say, no, 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 don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. And in the flesh, we're attempting to, we're wrestling with God. That's why the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we struggle so much. It's not us, because you know the difference between right or wrong. You actually have God's Holy Spirit in you, okay?
Amen.
Saying, no, don't go there, don't go there, don't make me, don't do that, you know? And anyway, and we do it anyway, okay? Now, some of the guys are right now saying, I'm done with this, right? They don't want to hear that anymore, okay? Well, that's called conviction.
Yeah.
That's not me trying to make somebody feel guilty. It's about conviction. We all know what that is because we want to be upset with the world and everybody else, and especially God. All of a sudden, hey, why is this, you know, why? You know, back again. Back to this selfishness, self-centeredness. Man, I tell you what, everything was surrounded, pointing toward me. It was all about me. And it can always be about me at any given moment in time. If I let down my guard, it becomes about me again. But really what the Lord wants us to do is to think of others. And think of others more highly than myself. Which is very difficult to do sometimes, isn't it?
It is. It is very
difficult. I mean, I'm not alone in this.
Because, I'm in this body. So my concern generally is for this body. When this body gets hungry, this body looks for food.
Yes.
When this body gets tired, this body looks for a bed to sleep in, you know. So it's been, you know, that's our focus.
Yes.
Our focus is ourselves. So that's how we are trained to think as we're raised up through life. So the idea of to consider others more highly than yourselves, that's something that takes a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of intentionality to it.
Yes.
You know, and Raul, it just occurs to me that, you know, there is nothing new under the sun,
mm-hmm.
like you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the guys who are listening to think that we're standing on a soapbox, you know, preaching down at people, but because this is something, Raul, that both you and I have gone through and struggle with on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we want to remain sexually pure.
But I want to, I'd like to just want to clarify something, or at least make a statement here. Sometimes I think that we give too much power to the enemy and to the sin, and talking about that we struggle with this. One thing is, I believe, is that we are the world as it is, no matter how tight you are with our Lord, you are still going to be tempted. Some guys will use temptation as thinking that is a struggle. No, that is not the struggle. The struggle is actually should I do it? I got my hands on it. Should I actually go ahead and, you know, or whatever? No, that's a struggle. But the temptation is not the struggle. That is the temptation. That's the lure. Are you going to bite on that? You know, just like you were fishing, right? You use a little lure and you get out there, you're fly fishing, you're hoping that fish, waiting that, as a fish, you're waiting for that fly to come over so you can snag it, not knowing that there's something hook on that thing. You just think it's just a regular fly. Well, same thing. The enemy does the same thing. And all of a sudden that lure comes out and we go whap, when actually you're through wisdom, experience, and listening to others who've been down that path before say, hey, be careful. When you see that green and orange fly, it's not real. They're extinct. Yeah. You're going to want to eat it, take a bite of it, but they're no longer real. And so don't bite on that, because if you do, there's a hook there.
Yeah, okay. It's just an imitation of the real thing. It's that struggle between the flesh and the spirit that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
because, you know, they are at war with one another.
Yes.
So there is temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin, like you were saying. Jesus was tempted. But it's in James. I'm going to try and turn there real quickly. Hebrews, James, be patient with me. I know we're on the air.
Dun, dun,
okay.
Dun,
dun, but dun, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death.
Yes, yes.
That's a huge verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like what you were saying, the temptation itself is not the sinfulness. The
right.
Sin is when the desire that we have,
right.
You know, has conceived, that we decide to give in to it.
Yeah.
We have this battle between the flesh and the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, guess which one is stronger?
Right.
The spirit of God. Mm. Or our body of flesh.
Mm.
The spirit of God is always stronger. Okay. Mm. Now, the reason that we do sin is because of our own selfish desires.
Yes.
That we give into.
Yes.
That we say that I want this more than I want what God would have for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to put myself on that throne and just nudge God off of it for a little while I go and I do my sinful thing. Then I'm going to say, okay, God, the throne's yours again.
Yes.
You see, do we realize the craziness of that kind of thinking? You know, but it's something that we're all guilty of doing.
And that's part of what ends up taking place as a result of living on this earth. These are things that are with us each and every day. God gave us free will. To be able to make decisions. He desires that we seek him. That's what that's truly what he desires. He wants no one to go to hell. He wants everyone to come to believe him. He wants every knee to bow to him at the very end, okay? Every creature, all right? The simple fact is that because of what he's given us to be able to populate the world with and to be able to enjoy, because sex is to be enjoyed. He wants us to feel the pleasure and to enjoy that sort of thing that brings.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants you to do it under the umbrella, the covenant of marriage, okay? Not just with any person who'll do that with you, you know? And some of this, and I'm going to tell you, we won't get into it right now. That's for another topic for another time. It's sometimes not, the lure isn't so much of a female. It becomes of something of the same gender. Where there is an attractiveness, and all of a sudden it's a curiosity, and all of a sudden it's like, wow. And then all of a sudden, you know what? These are all things from the depths of hell, okay, of evil,
mm-hmm.
okay? That because the enemy, we always have to remember this. I shouldn't say can't forget this, but we should always try to remember this, is that the enemy, he has only one mission, and that's to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's it. You, your family, those you love, everybody around you that is seeking Jesus. Because why? Because we were all created by God. We were all created by God for one purpose, to seek him.
Yeah.
To learn how to be able to love him and to be able to let others know about him.
Yeah. And the enemy, he does all this role by lies and manipulation.
Yes.
So we have this beautiful gift from God, which is the sex inside of the marriage relationship. But the enemy, he wants to take that and manipulate it so that we are, you know, in fact, seeking something other than what we should be seeking. You know, the way our brains work, the way God has made our brains in this marriage relationship that we have, you know, where sex comes into that, it's really quite amazing. Because when those certain areas of our brain are stimulated, it releases, you know, all sorts of different chemicals. And those chemicals actually create an addictive type of thing. So the design that God has is that when that we would be united with our wife, that those endorphins, those dopamine, whatever all those chemicals are, there's a whole bunch of them that are released, that they would cause us to become, in fact, addicted to our wives.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And and as we grow old with our wives, that we will continue to be addicted to our wives. Mm-hmm. But then we, as men, we'll get this idea in our heads that maybe I'm going to look a little left. I'm going to look a little right. Maybe I deserve something that's over here, you know. And so we start to get these desires, and then our minds go forth with the desires, you know. And then I'll, you know, next thing I know, I'm looking at pornography on the internet, and I'm thinking that I deserve that. Here's this easy relationship. Well, guess what's happening when a man is looking at these images and videos on the internet of, you know, of these pornographic images. Well, these same chemicals are being released.
Yep.
And what was designed, Raul, for that marriage relationship to bond us to our wife, now all of a sudden we're being bonded to a stranger on the internet that we don't know. It's a completely false relationship.
Because filled with all these expectations that this person is going to fulfill things that maybe my wife would not do or would want to experience with me. And I can do this because it's no harm, no foul, so to speak. Because this person is an adult and they want this sort of thing. And anyway, so again, these are all the lies of the enemy. This is all, you're in the realm of darkness when this is taking place.
Yes.
You really are. There is no light that's taking place here. And in that darkness, you belong to the enemy. He's got you where you, he said, hey, I can leave Raul alone right now. You know, he's right where I want him, and I can go pay attention to somebody else. I'll go see what Eric's doing right now and go from there. Let's take a break. Let's come back and continue talking about this sort of thing. But I want to talk about what is it that, I mean, we get the deal about the struggle in a sense and what it is, but let's talk about some of the things here after in this next segment of how we can avoid or battle this sort of thing, because this is something that's going to be ongoing, brother. You think it's going to go away? It's not. Even if you were in the sin completely, guess what? You're going to want more of it, and it's going to become very ugly. So anyway, we'll see what we can do to help prevent from going down that slippery slope. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one of a kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. You know what? This is always a topic that we could have a men's conference and talk about everything that has to do with sexual impurity or sexual sin, sexual struggle, sexual anything. And you could talk a whole weekend with different men talking about their experiences and different things to do and so on and so forth. You know what would happen? Very few people would show up. Because they don't want to think that they have a problem. They don't want other people to think they have a problem. And the last thing I want to do is find out how not to do something that I really desire to do.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because that's the exact reason that I actually stayed away from the Band of Brothers for Christ ministry for as long as I did. Yeah. Because to go, I believe that going to the Band of Brothers ministry on Tuesday nights, like we meet locally here in the Northwest,
yep.
that would let everybody know that I was struggling with a secret sin, which for me was pornography.
Right.
And I didn't want anybody, well, here I am telling, I'm on the air about it. God has done some work in me, I'll tell you that. But
Amen.
I didn't want anybody to know, Raul.
Yep.
So I stayed away. I didn't want anybody to, if I went and did this, then I'd be admitting to the world that I was weak and I had a problem and I needed help. I wasn't willing to do that for a long time. And I had to be broken.
Yep.
I had to reach that bottom. I eventually did. And I'll tell you what, I praise God that I'm celebrating. I praise God so much that I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary with my wife, because I don't deserve to be married to her.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
She could have and should have left me.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Yep.
Because she's a godly woman. She chose to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of going on a rabbit trail here, but
no, not really. But these are all the things that men need to hear. Guys who have not been there. Guys who are not married, or maybe they're even separated from their wife right now. You know, and maybe the wife has a divorce, but she's just trying to get you to pay attention to what God's trying to do to you. He's trying to get your attention, saying, hey, you don't need to go down this path. You don't need to continue living like this. You don't need to treat your wife, your children this way. That's not what I designed you for. You know, that's like someone who manufactured a tool to be used for one thing, but you're using it as it's a ratchet to be able to take nuts off or something like that. But you use this tool to be able to hammer nails, and you're having a difficult time doing it. It works on occasion when I hit it just right, but it just doesn't work very well. That's because you're using the wrong tool for the wrong job, okay? It's meant to be used for one thing and one thing only. And God created us to honor Him, to acknowledge Him, to love Him, and to glorify Him in all that He does, and to let others know of Him. So that's part of what you're doing. You're sharing with others, saying, hey, listen, man, I've been down this road. This is where it took me. And let me tell you, it doesn't just stop with just an idle or little no problem type of sexual sin. It leads to more things, because you'll end up with a crowd that is different. You'll end up desiring more. And before you know it, you're going to find out that, oh, wow, this drug will actually allow you to be able to do this? And let you be able to do this more freely and without any challenges. And I can use this to be able to keep my mind from thinking about the stuff that I ought to be doing. Wow.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're down a path of total destruction and death, where there is sometimes in a fleeting moment of thinking that there's no hope, but there's always hope.
There's always hope. And what you're talking about there, Raul, is how it can just continue to spiral.
Yeah.
And what you have, the what brings you comfort now might not bring you comfort tomorrow. So you have to dig a little bit deeper into the sinfulness, or you know, to go down a different road. Maybe, you know, like all of a sudden, oh, now, well, you know, fetishes are helping me out. You know, it spirals, it continues, and it can even and it does. It causes men to go outside of the marriage in order to,
yep,
you know, to
fulfill,
to try and,
yep,
to fulfill their desires.
Yeah,
these things happen.
In the book of Romans, chapter 13, it outlines the life that God desires for us, okay, to live. And then we're going to talk about a few things before we run out of time. But it says here in verse 13 and 14, let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality. I'm going to just pause there for a moment, because the carousing and drunkenness, amazing what a little alcohol and maybe getting high on occasion, how that will all of a sudden open the door to making everything else okay. Mm-hmm. It opens the door to say, yeah, I'm just having a good time. Just don't do it very often. I'm going to do this. And it leads to sexual immorality. Okay.
Yeah, it affects our decision-making process.
Right. So it goes on and says, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, right there, he lets us know, says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. There's the struggle. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to not think about those things? Well, the best thing is to think of helping someone else. See, guys are desired to, we like to fix things. We're wired that way, to repair, to make sure that something can go from point A to point B without any flaws. You know, somebody says, oh, I can fix that. Yes, you give a guy a task like that, they'll say, okay, I'll do it. Let me see what I can do. The majority of men. There's always an exception. But the fact is, we are wired that way, okay? So if you tell a guy, say, listen, we've got people here that need help. They need to be able to get from here to here, but I need your help to help me coordinate that or put that together or to build something to be able to, for them to be able to go from here to there. Will you help me? Yes. Because most guys want to help. They want to help. Mm-hmm. But if they're thinking of somebody else, guess who they're not thinking of?
Yeah, themselves. Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
That's right. And one of the ways that we can do that is, through fellowship. You know, when like-minded guys get together and we talk about the real things that men deal with, when we come together in transparency, mm-hmm, and honesty, mm-hmm, that's, help is found in that place.
Right.
I'll tell you what, that transparency is scary, but you know that, Raul, that you can actually help a person by being transparent?
Mm-hmm.
When I, a little while ago, I talked about how the fact that that I had an addiction to pornography.
Right.
When I do that, Raul, it allows other men to know that they're not alone in their struggles.
Amen.
And that there is hope and that there is help. And so, my flesh, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to admit my weaknesses. I don't want to admit my struggles. I don't want to do that. I'm putting myself out there.
Yes.
And I'm saying, okay, you know what? Yes, you can come along and you can hurt me now. But when we do that, when we open up in transparency, well, that spiraling that I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm,
okay, that spiraling becomes, when we open up in transparency, all of a sudden now I am not only receiving help from those who I'm being transparent with, I'm also giving help,
yes,
to those who I'm being transparent with, because sometimes we just need to know that we're not alone in the struggle.
Yes.
And when men come together in fellowship, and to, like it says in the book of James, that they confess their sins to one another and they pray for one another. You know, why? James says why we do that. It's so that we may be healed.
Yes, yes, yes. There's an analogy that I love thinking about. When we talk about spiraling, in a sense, you ever go to the carnival or to the fair and you have those rides where three of you or whatever, or a couple of you can sit in this thing that looks like a clamshell, half a clamshell, and you sit in it and it rocks around side to side, right? And when this thing gets going, right, and you grab that center thing, you keep spinning it around, you could just spin, and all of a sudden it's like you don't have any control. You don't have enough strength to do that sort of thing. And a part of you, at a certain time in your life, you sit there. Now, I'm not – yes, some of you really get off on that sort of thing, and I understand that. I did too. But I'm talking about using the analogy. You sit there and you go, okay, I just want to stop. this is what the sin does. You're in the midst of this thing, and it's taking you down and down and down and around and around. The force of everything, you cannot grab onto anything to stop. You don't seem to be able to have it. Then all of a sudden, the ride stops. It starts to slow down. Okay? Well, that starts to slow down for us when we seek Jesus. Just mentioning his name and asking him to help, he will be there for you. Brother, the key is that when you start to slow down, you start thanking him. And you start asking him to show you what to do. And he will guide you. He will bring people into your life to be able to assist. His word is truth, brother. He will not leave you nor forsake you at any given time. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Would you pray for our brothers?
I will. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just praise you for your son, Jesus, who has made the way for us to be reconciled to you, God. I pray that we would seek you in holiness and honor, Father, as our body is being living sacrifices unto you, God. I pray that you would strengthen the men to that end today for your glory.